What up? Welcome back to another episode of Life's a Podcast hosted by Jack Fanning. And today we have the first ever reoccurring band on Life's a Podcast history. Welcome back to the show, Carver Commodore. What's up, guys?
What up?
What's up? Happy to have you guys here. First and foremost, before we get into introductions, reintroductions, making his Life's a Podcast debut, we have Mr. David Smith. Welcome to the show, my friend.
You gave me a poster from the last one, but I'm not even on it.
I know. So we'll get you hooked up this time.
So I'm glad that I get to be on this one.
We're happy to finally get you on, man. This has been a long time coming for sure. Also, welcome back to the show, Phil, Clayton, and Peyton. Good to see you guys as always. And Noah, the drummer. He is dearly missed right now. Hopefully he can sneak in at the end. If not, it's okay. But yeah, what's up, guys? It's been a long time since we spoke. I looked this up as well earlier today. Our podcast that we did, the first one, was March of 2021. So we're like almost, 3 years away from when that happened, if you will, which is crazy. It's been a long time since we last talked, which we chatted. We added a whole new band member to Carver Commodore, which is great. We also, you guys have released a ton of music. A lot of stuff has happened in your personal lives. Just to go quickly off of the list that I was able to at least find, publicly speaking, of what's happened since we chatted. You guys released a full-length album, Welcome to the Modern World. Great album. Two EPs, right? If Nothing Happens and Too Much. You guys also just recently released a live album as well. Some of you guys have gotten married. Some of you guys have had children. A lot has happened. Your boy has graduated college.
Yeah,
a lot has happened since we last talked, officially speaking, on Life's Podcast. I know we've hung out a little bit, but I guess the big question, this is a very broad question for the four of you, but what's something that stands out? I guess, think back on yourselves 3 years from now, from that point to today, what is the thing that stands out most to you? It could be musically speaking, it can be personal life. I know we've all had some big personal stuff come up, but just give me some reason behind that.
That's a great question.
Anybody got anything? I would say for me, because I wasn't, like you said, it was March of 2021. I joined in April of 2021. So I was just on the tail end, but I feel like in the last 3 years, it feels like the band has kind of found its form, like with the five of us.
Yeah.
Which is an update from the last time we spoke, you guys spoke on the podcast.
But yeah.
I feel like once I became a part of the band, we all kind of feel like we agree that this is like what we've all been looking for as musicians, is the five of us. So
yeah. We've seen steady growth every year.
That's awesome. Good. Yeah.
Nice. And we were still kind of in the depths of COVID at that time.
Yeah, for sure.
We had played any shows that year that point. So we hadn't even started back, touring or anything like that. Yeah. Since then we've probably played 150 shows or something, at least. Ooh. So been a lot of shows between now and then, a lot of music made, recorded, released. Been great.
It was crazy. You like listing off all that stuff that's happened. I mean, 2020 to 2023 was like a wormhole.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
A void of years.
It was a wormhole.
Now that it feels like we're finally back on track.
Totally.
24.
It's all a blur.
Yeah, it really is.
It always is.
But... I should call our band Blur.
I don't think that one's taken you.
That's not a bad idea.
Great idea. Yeah, it's crazy how much you said, Phil, like the amount of music that you guys released since, like, I don't even remember, because I saw you guys play not shortly thereafter our show in March of 21. And I don't remember even talking about, a release of music, or you guys probably, it was already probably close to being done. But, the fact that there's, the discography has doubled, if not tripled, since then is wild to think about in just a short period of time. But congratulations to it all. It's all been a really fun ride to see you guys play live, all this new music, but also just in the background, be a fan. It has been a really cool thing. One thing that I would love to know more about from you guys, the most recent thing I'd say that has come out really twofold with the both of them, but the trip out west, I guess, that you guys took that led to the release of the, I guess, film that you guys put out about a month and change ago, I'll Be Fine on your YouTube channel. Talk to me about that trip out west to record all these music videos. I think it was something on that, if I'm remembering off the top of my head, it was like 5 music videos in 5 days. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if that was a true statement or not, but this trip out west for If Nothing Happens, give me some kind of background into it. And it's a great film, by the way. Really, really cool. Definitely go check that out, everyone.
Yeah. Today is the 1 year anniversary of us flying out.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Look at that.
It's crazy.
We crammed a lot in that week.
We did.
And we had wanted to do something totally different for that EP. And, you know, the whole mindset behind that EP was different than anything we had done so far. We wanted to do something more chill, but also more focused and more like of a rounded concept.
Yeah.
So we wanted the visuals to reflect that. And it's kind of more sparse than anything that we've put out as far as like the amount of tracks and stuff that are on each song. So we wanted to reflect that as well with like the landscape that we were in. So we figured going out to the desert and those surrounding areas was kind of the move. And we booked a trip out there in like November of 2022 or December or something, figured all that out. And then just looked forward to January for like a month and planned everything with our videographer, Daniel Cunningham, and our other videographer, Braden. Our boy Daniel and Braden. And we got them to go out there with us and just kill it. And came back with 5 music videos. It was so much work, and it was freezing, tiring and cold.
So cold.
Yeah, it was like, I'm sure the range of temperatures was from like 20 degrees to like 80 degrees.
Oh my gosh.
It's the desert.
It's very breakneck.
So it was awesome though.
You had to pack for everything.
Literally.
Yeah. We picked up the slot machine out there. That was crazy. We're like, okay, trying to get everything to come together. The theme of the EP was like, if nothing happens, whatever, you know, we'll just keep going no matter what. So it's kind of a gamble.
Yeah.
So we thought, all right, let's get a slot machine. So we found one on Facebook Marketplace.
In Vegas.
That's fitting.
Get it out there if we could get it here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Found one, figured out the dimensions for it, made the artwork, printed it on these like things that you stick onto plexiglass, took the plexiglass artwork out there with us, installed it as soon as we got there, hoped that like
it would fit
and that the guy that we were buying it from wouldn't like
flake out
and or scam us, whatever. But everything ended up working out. I mean, it's a,
and that's the cover of the EP is slot machine.
Yeah.
It's super crazy.
Even the story of that slot machine was a gamble in and of itself. Mm-hmm. And then we couldn't fly back with it, so we had to put it in a storage unit.
Yeah.
And then when we went on tour a couple months later, we played in Vegas, went to the storage unit, picked it up, put it in our trailer, and brought it all the way home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really the main reason we played in Vegas, honestly.
Really?
The stopover.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's kind of crazy that it made it that far.
Yeah.
But it worked out. It was like everything, that's the most planned anything we've ever done has been.
Yeah.
Because we had to plan like, all right, we know what we want for the cover. We know what we want for every shot of every video for the most part.
It's crazy how it all came together.
Yeah, it was a ton of planning.
Yeah.
Planning.
How did you guys go about picking the locations for each of the music videos? Because there's one where you're in like a tiny house and, you know, a couple of the others, there's a lot of shots just kind of in the desert.
I think you had the tiny house beforehand.
Yeah, a ton of research. I like wanted that video to be like a one shot feel, and to all be in one confined space and then end up outside. Yeah. And you know, it fits the theme of the song and all that.
But with Drowning Emotions, we shot that over 3 days in three different locations.
And none of them were the ones that we planned.
None of them were what we planned.
Really?
So Yeah, we kept getting kicked out, or you know, we'd find somewhere on the side of the road. We're like, let's shoot there. And
yeah.
Like the last day, we got super lucky and just happened to find this like big open area. We're like, it's kind of hidden from the highway, so like perfect. We didn't have to worry about getting in trouble or anything. And so it took literally 3 days to shoot that video.
Yeah, basically everywhere but the tiny house, we were trespassing. So yeah. We were like,
okay,
the whole time, like
yeah, all the casinos, arrested, you know? Couldn't film in them. We had to be a little sneaky, you know, in a couple of them, but.
Yeah,
got it done.
You know, it doesn't matter now.
That's all. It happens. There you go.
It was illegal back then.
Yeah.
Statute of limitations, I guess. Yeah. All right. So speaking of it, if nothing happens, not released not too long ago, honestly, at this point, still August 15th, 2023, 5-song EP, the latest of EPs to come out for you guys. Describe to me, I guess, the evolution of your sound musically. I know, Peyton, when we last chatted, I know you have a good bit of influence, if not the majority of influence as far as songwriting goes. Talk to me about the evolution from, I guess, the last couple of albums since we last spoke, officially speaking, but more so we'll talk about If Nothing Happens, the sound in general, and more so just, is there anything that... I think it does resonate a good bit towards the album title, If Nothing Happens, I'll Be Fine, stuff like that. Talk to me about that in some capacity.
We were just talking about this last night because it still feels like this, but we kind of started noticing that everybody these days, as far as like our generation and below, really get into bands and love music and stuff in like a casual way, more for the vibe and the like overall, you know, feeling of being at a concert and like, the aesthetic and the way that a band looks or the way that going to a concert feels like an event and something you could do with your friends. And like, I don't know, I guess it's just because everything is made for TikTok and everything is short-lived attention span in the bad way, but in the good way, everybody just looking to have a good time, especially like after COVID. So, kind of wanted to just make an EP that was not so like serious or I don't know, not so thought out as a concept, but then it ended up being our most serious and most conceptual release. So we wanted to make something more chill for sure. That was like the main thing.
Yeah, we did.
We called it the
easy listening.
Funnily enough, like the original idea that we had was for Too Much and for If Nothing Happens to be like a double-sided, like heavy songs and chill songs.
Okay.
So really all the songs on If Nothing Happens were going to be more acoustic driven.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just kind of started falling in love with If Nothing Happens kind of conceptually by way of like, all of the songs were, for the most part, about this shared experience that we are all going through.
Yeah.
And so it kind of flipped from being like a yin and yang EP thing, you know, to being like, okay, let's put out Too Much and then like push all of our efforts for If Nothing Happens on turning it into like a proper project versus an acoustic EP, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And like in its initial, like, early conception, it was like that'll be like more chill acoustic stripped back, and then the more we
do that, as hard as we try, we can't be fully acoustic,
and the more we just lived out like the life that we lead as this band, it was like it became clear that the songs on If Nothing Happens had a story that deserved to have a little bit more production and to be a little bit more intentional. And so that's what we did. And so it kind of just took on a life of its own.
Yeah, that's the big difference between that EP and stuff that we had written before, is that it felt like a shared experience. I think most of the stuff that I'd written before that was just like my own experiences or like some character that I made up writing from that perspective. But almost all the stuff on If Nothing Happens is like from our perspective collectively. So that was a big difference, and then like just stripping things back, being a bit more chill, just kind of vibing with it was the other side of it.
Yeah My next question was just going to be about, I guess, the sound in general, because you guys said, like, and obviously if you listen to the EP of If Nothing Happens, it's a bit of a slower, more reflective sound. It is, I guess, the bigger question. And I, not knowing that whenever you guys released Too Much, that it had the intention of being a bit more conjoined, if you will. My question about the sound of If Nothing Happens is more so, is this a reflection of the times that you guys are kind of going through? Like I said earlier, like, you know, Clayton got married, like you guys now have, there's multiple children in the Carver Commodore metaverse. Like is this a, we're slowing down on things as we go, and this is a reflection of our sound. That was a bad joke by my part. I apologize on the car, the metaverse, but I guess that kind of answers my question. It was a bit of a yes and no. I don't want to put words in y'all's mouth, but I didn't know if this was a, hey, I'm listening to a lot more acoustic sounding music nowadays, and therefore I want to make an EP about with that kind of sound, or is it, you know, not knowing that it's a two-part ish, if you will. So
it's a little bit of everything. I feel like as I was writing these songs, I was listening to more like Beatles and stuff like that, because it was recorded in the summer of 22. So I was listening to the Beatles a lot, and you can hear that on songs like If Nothing Happens for sure. Too but Late to Get Out. Yeah, Too Late to Get Out. It's kind of a, not like an Oasis vibe, you know. Drown Me was written back in 2018 or 19, like a long time ago.
Okay, wow.
But it just kind of fit this vibe. It was a lot more chill. And then Never Satisfied was a newer one. I don't know musically where that inspiration came from, but yeah, I guess it just kind of ended up being like that, and we wanted to see what it would be like and what the response would be like if we put something out that was more relaxed and,
yeah,
you know, something that people could not have to pay as close attention to, you know, like something that might be considered background music or whatever. And even though we don't consider it that, and hopefully our fans don't either, is something that we're not just like, all right, we got to play a riff every few seconds. Yeah. Like there's got to be a new thing. You know?
Yeah.
And really wanted to focus on writing each part in a really intentional way. Like the parts that we would play live, basically. So like we don't have 10 guitar tracks, but only 3 guitar players, or like
bunch of synths.
Yeah, a bunch of different drum sounds, bunch of different synth sounds. So we have to use a ton of tracks. Like I wanted to write it as if we were in a live context. And we tried to do it that way when we were recording too.
Yeah. Also, just all the feelings and stuff we're experiencing, like feelings of doubt and like insecurity, that doesn't like, that kind of just automatically informs the sound. Cause like Too Much is a really fun EP, you know, and not that we weren't having fun writing these songs, but it was definitely more of a, you know, reflective kind of thing, you know, asking ourselves all these questions that we've all, you know, played through in our heads multiple times. Like, what if this career, you know, doesn't work out or whatever? So a lot of it definitely informed the overall sound. Totally.
Yeah. But I will say too, kind of to answer the back end of your question, I wouldn't consider it like, moving forward, we're still going to be Carver Commodore as far as our sound. And like, I think that just, If Nothing Happens kind of expanded the space, but didn't navigate us like on an off ramp towards just as much as kind of widened what we want to do. Because like, we still love playing the riff rock and roll, energetic stuff too. And there's absolutely going to come, you know, that's always going to be a part of the catalog. And even in new music, I think both sounds are going to be a part of the catalog, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily that we're completely like moving in like a more that chill direction as
we
much kinda, as like,
yeah, we also wanted to challenge ourselves to do something different too.
Yeah. It was also the first time that it's all 5 of our like musical backgrounds and stuff coming together. So, going to be different, you know, from the start.
There was a lot of like challenging ourselves that went into If Nothing Happens. Kind of like being like, and like I said, like within the context of like, these all started out as more mellow songs, and we kind of like stacked on top of them. But yeah, so
yeah, I think it helped reach a new audience as well, because for a lot of people online, Stars and Galaxies is a gateway song. And I feel like the songs on the EP sort of mimic that vibe a lot,
especially Drown Me.
Yeah, Drown Me for sure. It's like a very similar sonic happening, so it brings them into our back catalog too, I think. And Drown Me was pretty well received online, you know. We had some, like, the most success I think we've ever had on a single with just releasing that, so that was really cool and encouraging to see a lot of new fans jump in with that release.
Yeah,
hopefully they stick around for the harder stuff that's coming.
We definitely will. I think that's a good point. Dave, you said, like, all encompassing with what you guys all said, like, all in all, if nothing happens, it's still, like, when I play it, it's still Carver Commodore. But like you said, like, there is the evolution to some degree of a sound, and it's more expansive on, like, what is Carver Commodore. So then when you make new music, it's, you guys hopefully have a bit more of a, even just a comfort, I would imagine, right? To dive into a, not a new sound, but maybe spin it off a little bit differently here and there. A lot of thing, another thing kind of on the other end of, since we last chatted, you guys have, and we talked about this a little bit with the If Nothing Happens kind of Western tour that you guys had, you guys have created a lot of music videos. One in particular that still sticks out to me to this day is the Good Idea music video that I would love to hear more about. Because truth be told, I legitimately did for the first couple of watches think that, like, Phil could shred on a skateboard. Like, it took me a minute, so props to you guys for that video editing. But I would love to hear more about it, because the song and the video, and just elaborate to me on that and the idea with that, the good idea with that, as to, for lack of a better phrase. But I'd love to hear more about that, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was, and that was one of those things where, coming off of Welcome to the Modern World, we spent a lot of time on those music videos, and many hours between all of us and David and I working on them. And with Good Idea, we just wanted to do something, you know, fun and true to us, which, not that the other ones weren't, but this is just us having a good time, you know, just being bros.
It was like the five of us and a buddy of ours, Brandon, who's like a stuntman and extreme sports. He did all of the stunts for all five of us.
Yeah, he did everything.
But yeah, it was just like, in an afternoon, we just went to a skate park with him and a literal tape, VHS tape camera, and just ran around. And, like, we told him to wear black jeans. We all wore black jeans. And then we went to Walmart and bought, like,
the same
shirt for each of us. So he had his own, we all had a shared shirt. And then we bought, like, a Noah wig and a Phil wig for him to wear. But yeah, it was just like us just goofing off at a skate park. A couple hours.
It was the easiest music video we've ever shot. The shortest amount of time to shoot it, the shortest amount of time to edit it.
And honestly, I think it got one of the most views, like, in a quick amount of time.
And organically, like,
because we really did anything with it. We just put it out there.
And we didn't have the song out on streaming yet either. So
I
feel like that first, the video.
First view watching YouTube.
Yeah, dude, that was a fun one. That was I'd cool. like to do more fun and simple videos. That's the move.
Yeah.
Of the five of you, who was the best? Who was the actual best at, like, their respective? So, like, Phil, like, you were on the skateboard. Who was the best of their respective equipment?
Noah's on rollerblades, and he
was probably not great at rollerblades, but if he would have been on a skateboard,
he could shred it.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. I do remember talking to Noah about that. He actually does skate to a degree. We can ask him right there.
I think the video of me falling on the half pipe at some
point. It's in the video too. That's right. Like a quick
video too.
Tried to drop in.
Committed to it.
That's all that matters.
Got to give it one shot at least. That's awesome. I do have, okay. So, back to the, and I should have said this at the start of the show, to be frank, but if anyone who's listening right now hasn't listened to the first ever Carver Commodore Life's a Podcast episode, go back and listen to that as well, for further context on what we're about to do, because this is hands down the dumbest yet I think most creative thing I've ever came up for this entire podcast that we're about to do. So back in our first episode, and I would love if you guys gave the context, but there was a segment that we kind of, the guys dove into a rabbit hole about the singer-songwriter, queen of rock, Joan Jett. If you would, you guys wouldn't mind a 2-minute synopsis on the Joan Jett story real quick for those who haven't listened.
Joan Jett was a Baltimore person, right?
Yeah.
We were in Baltimore and it was horrible. We played this hotel in the middle of the afternoon on our first tour up to New York in like 2019. And we played that show and the only person was there was like this homeless lady that just kept screaming Joan Jett at us. The entire time she kept going, Joan Jett. Yeah. I guess she's wanting to play it. She's wanting us to play Joan Jett. I'm not sure. Joan Jett, too.
That was wild.
Joan Jett.
I think there's a TikTok that kind of gives like a whole.
There's a Baltimore TikTok. Thing.
Yeah, because there's a lot. There's many layers of this. Like,
A lot of lore.
We had a horrible night, too.
Yeah.
I think this was at like 10 a.m.
Yes,
it was. Jeez.
Early
and we didn't get paid anything for that show. No. There's nobody there. I don't know why we did it. It was like total new move. It was dumb.
Very glad that we weren't there
for that. Yeah, we hadn't got the shower in like 3 days. It was bad.
It was crazy.
Thank you for the synopsis. That's perfect. And then you guys also have a song off the EP Too Much by the title of Jeff Garlin. Would you guys mind giving a quick synopsis as to the reason of the Jeff Garlin song?
Yeah, I was listening to his interview on Mark Maron's podcast from like 2017 or 18. It was a while back, but when I wrote that song, I was listening to that and he was just talking about like unrequited love, how him and his wife had gotten separated or divorced or something, but he still loved her. And he was like, I'm not sure if we'll ever get back together, but I still love her. And it was like, dang, this is like a real person. And it's kind of sad and also heartwarming. So I just wrote that song from his perspective
about
unrequited love. And everybody's been there at some point. So
of course.
And Jeff Garlin himself said he dug it.
Yes, he did.
Okay,
we spammed him nonstop and he finally commented and said, I dig it.
That was my next question. I remember whenever the track released, like you guys were really pushing for Jeff to actually listen to the song. And so that was my next question is, did we get in contact with Jeff? So he dug it. That's great.
I did.
We also called his manager and stuff.
I went down some rabbit holes.
Yeah. We never got to talk, but he dug.
The ultimate would have been, we're like, if we could get him to just like do like some sort of quick video, then we'll do a whole music video around it. If we just get video of him like listening to it, singing along to it or something.
Also
we got an idea out of it.
I'll take that. Also right around that time he kind of got in some trouble about something.
That was like right around the time that he got like, I guess he got kicked off the show he was on for stuff,
being mean to people.
I don't know.
So it was bad timing.
It was bad timing for Jeff Garlin, and it was bad timing to put out a song called Jeff Garlin, but it's a fun song, so who cares?
It is a fun song, I will say that. Well, I have something that this is, again, like I said, probably the dumbest thing that I've ever come up with, but if you guys would oblige me, I have come up with a game that we're going to play, the four of you, really, it's for the four of you. The game is called Jeff or Joan, and I have a series of questions that I will ask you, and it is up to you to individually each tell me who of the two of Joan Jett or Jeff Garlin did these five things. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
I'm ready.
All right. So we're not doing this as a consensus. We're all coming up individually.
I would love for each of you, the four of you, to have your own answers if you wouldn't mind, but you can all be consensus if you want. All right. Oh, this is so stupid. All right. This person appeared on the show Walker, Texas Ranger as an ex-CIA agent turned assassin.
Gosh, I mean, at first it feels like it's going Jeff Garlin, but then the assassin thing makes me think Joan Jett.
Yeah, I'm guessing Joan Jett.
I'd be scared of Jeff Garlin as an assassin. So.
Yeah, I'm going to go Joan Jett.
Everyone's...
Garlin, probably Jeff Garlin.
So we're at 3-1 Joan Jett over Jeff Garlin. And Joan Jett is the correct answer for that
one. Oh, we got to watch that episode now.
Yeah, it sounds like later.
It's Walker, Texas Ranger, man.
All right. This next one's a good one. All right. This person has a discreet cameo in the movie Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, I know this one too. That's definitely Jeff Carlin. Jeff.
For sure.
So actually, Daniel Craig. Or something? This is the Star Wars guy. Stormtrooper, right?
Or no? That's Daniel Craig and Tom Hardy.
I don't know. Jeff Garland in a Stormtrooper costume.
Yeah. No, he's awesome. He's in some sort of alien costume.
He's like an alien.
Yeah.
Wow. He's definitely. Yeah. So it's gotta be Jeff.
Jeff Garland.
Everyone's going Jeff?
Yes.
It is a correct answer of Jeff Garland. He plays some alien looking character. I had no idea about this until today, by the name of Jun Gobind is his name. I like Star Wars, but I don't like Star Wars that much to know that. So, all right.
Jeff Garland is John Favreau adjacent in the way that he looks. And John Favreau had something to do with
it. He's kind of a showrunner.
Right? I mean, he's the showrunner for the new shows. Mandalorian. It was something with the movie too. Anyway, it's just a rabbit trail. Just thinking. Two curly headed guys.
Yeah.
There you go.
Buff boys.
Little buff boys.
Right. All right. This person was briefly roommates with Conan O'Brien.
I think it's Jeff Garland. I feel like Conan's talked about that on his podcast before.
I would love to be roommates with Conan.
Me too.
I think that's Jeff Garland. If it's Joan Jett, that's wild.
Yeah, that's sick.
If Conan and Joan Jett were roommates,
that's awesome.
I'm
going Jeff Garland on that one.
Yeah.
Jeff Garland.
Everyone's going Jeff. That is a correct answer. It is Jeff Garland. All right, this person has and narrated a short film by the title of Godly Boyish.
Godly Boyish.
Joan Jett.
Yeah,
that's Joan. JJ written all
JJ.
Over.
Yeah,
and Godly maybe Boyish. Yeah, and maybe it's called that because at some point someone called her Godly Boyish looking or something.
Maybe so.
See it.
Nail on the head, boys. Nail on the head.
Sure.
Last but not least, this is the craziest one I've found personally. This person made a cameo at Cal Ripken Jr.'s request at his game in which he tied Lou Gehrig's all-time consecutive games played streak. So they were personally asked to be there by Cal Ripken Jr.
Wow.
If Cal Ripken Jr. is a big Joan Jett fan, that
it would make
sense. I feel like on the timeline, that makes sense. Because Cal Ripken Jr., isn't he like a 90s baseball
player? It was mid to early 90s, yes.
Joan Jett.
I'm going to go Joan Jett.
I guess if that's the timeline, then it must be Joan Jett.
Jeff Garland was around then too, I'm sure.
Yeah,
he was.
Early 2000s. Yeah. Curb Your Enthusiasm and stuff.
I wonder how he looked back then. I bet he was hot.
Probably. Yeah. Boy.
Yep.
It is Joan Jett. She played the national anthem at Cal's request.
Oh, dude, wow, that's sick.
That's a great record.
That's Long really cool. Car.
Yep, that's all we got for Jeff or Joan, but I hope you guys enjoyed that.
Great game.
I was trying to find ones that like maybe could get you guys thinking was the hardest, because like if I said like this person saying Bad Reputation, you wouldn't.
Jeff
Garland. Jeff Garland.
That would be Jeffrey, yeah. But yeah, thank you for obliging me on that. That was
that's a hard one.
I swear to you, actually, whenever we did that show and back in March of 21, the Joan Jett phenomenon, like the craze of it, went throughout my friend group like no other, man. I mean, let me tell you, I think I tagged you guys in like multiple Instagram stories of me just and my friends just probably drunk on a beach doing that, the hand wave, if you will. And I swear to you, 2 weeks ago, one of my old roommates texted us just out of the blue and he sends us one of the big Joan Jett songs. I don't remember off the top of my head, and he just says Joan Jett, and everyone just sent. We hadn't talked in days, weeks, if you will, and he just was like, "This is a great song, Joan Jett." We all sent the hand emojis, and that was it. That was the conversation. So
brings everyone together.
That happened. We didn't expect for it to probably ever resurface.
Lore. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we take those small moments and we just never let them die. That's our thing.
You've got to. All right, I got a couple more things. I know you guys are on a bit of a time crunch. We asked this question last time, and I have to ask it again because now we officially have, technically speaking, a quote-unquote, a new alignment of the band with David's addition, not shortly after this question was asked. You guys remember this question that I asked you guys back in the first episode. So for those who do not remember, the question is this. Essentially, you guys have to realign the band in some capacity, meaning, so for example, David, you cannot play the bass in Carver Commodore anymore. You have to play a different instrument of your actual instruments that are normally played, and so on and so forth. Noah can't be on drums, et cetera, et cetera. What is the, in your opinion now, the ideal alignment of Carver Commodore? And what song do you guys think you could best pull off in your arsenal? Now that there's so many extra songs added to this catalog, what is a song that you could best pull off and say, and a fan who has never seen you guys perform before would say, I think that's Carver Commodore. That sounds like them, if at all.
Good question.
I have the old answers here, and I'm curious if it still aligns even with David's addition. So I'm fire away.
I think
let's each give our own.
Well, yeah. Clayton could play drums.
Yeah, Clayton
he probably just did it earlier today.
Or yesterday.
He recorded
no quit. So,
yesterday.
Yeah. I had to say.
And we played one show where Clayton had to fill in on drums.
Yeah.
Okay.
Clayton's on drum duty.
Right before,
lock it in.
Nobly was born.
Right.
I think David would probably be on vocals.
Yeah. I'm gonna go to
play
bass because I like
think
playing
Peyton
bass.
Peyton could be. Yeah.
I definitely can't play keys, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I think enough time.
I think
figure
we could
it
play
out.
Drowning Emotions, and it'd probably be pretty good.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. Yeah, I'd say Phil could do move to
like
the keys Kirk. And percussion.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton could move to bass.
Yeah.
Noah.
Oh, I forgot about Noah.
Yeah, what's Noah doing? You guys left him out.
He's actually playing guitar.
I think
a few
we
times.
Can do Black Plastic.
Yeah.
That's what we said last time, I'm pretty sure. But I think,
I think
with the riff,
we totally
because we're all kind of playing the same riff anyways.
Yeah.
That'd be so easy. And I think Noah can play that riff too.
He could.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think that would be sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that
all right.
That's what we
guitar, bass,
yeah,
drums, keys, perk, lead singer, guitar.
Yeah.
I love it. You guys.
What's screaming vocals on?
Yeah,
Noah
could scream too. Yeah.
That's what you guys had originally is Noah on screaming vocals. I listened back to it and Noah was like, do not put me on guitar at all.
He's
got a really good
though.
Guitar. He doesn't have an opinion now.
He could pull down the riff.
He's stoked right now.
He's got it. Phil, you said the exact same thing on like, I don't really know keys, but I'll try. Like you said the exact same thing. Yeah, Clayton, we had you on drums. Peyton, you said bass. So yeah, there's the realignment. And you guys did say you would try Cancel Culture or Black Plastic. So
Cancel Culture is
like
brave.
Yeah, we're done.
I couldn't even remember how to play that.
What song off the new EP could we pull off?
Yeah, let's figure out something.
The new one?
Yeah.
Never satisfied.
The keys are pretty hard
happens.
On that song.
Yeah.
I think Drown Me is the easiest musically.
But
not the all the solo and the lead lines and stuff.
David could play the solo.
Yeah,
no,
yeah,
he could just held the rhythm down.
Yeah,
right.
So y'all think
you
never
can sing
satisfied?
Out of those?
Never satisfied. The keys parts was pretty
right.
hard. I'll just say it. Pretty hard.
Too late to get out would be easy because there's nothing really. That
yeah,
hard
that would be pretty easy.
Too late.
Keys are super simple.
Drums are.
Yep, easy.
Too late to get out.
We'll say too late to get out.
Too late to get out. All right, lock it in. I love it. Yeah. Had to ask that again, just with the new additions. And also it's been so long and maybe things have changed. Like you guys said, Noah's picked up guitar a little bit more ever since. He did not sound thrilled last time when you guys tried to put him on guitar. So I needed to throw that out there for his own, since he can't be here to represent himself and defend himself, I guess. Had to throw that out there. Couple of more things. I know, like I said, you guys are on a bit of a time crunch, but first and foremost, one other thing that I know we talked about a good bit in our first show is the Carver Cook series. Now, at the time, we had three out there to the public. And since then, to my knowledge, there's only been one extra published. David has his own Carver Cook series. Again, if I'm talking gibberish to those listening right now, go back and listen. Go look up Carver Cooks. It is... As I said last time, it is quite the fever dream in the sense of just it's the fellas making food. That's the best way to put it. You guys are multi-purpose stars.
through his for 3 years now.
I'll say it right here on the podcast.
He doesn't want to do it.
I'll make my Carver Cooks this year.
Wow.
All right. Let's
see. I'll do it.
You heard it here first, guys.
I'll do it.
And then once he gets it, then we've all got one. Then we can start over.
That's right.
Yeah. And season two, I think when we bring Carver Cooks back, we're just going to make it even more chaotic and even shorter.
Yeah, short form Carver Cooks.
Yeah, we're going short form after that.
Have you seen like how
journalistic?
Have you seen Weber Cooks online, like the YouTube series?
Yeah, or Simple
Yeah,
or 99 Cents.
Cook everything in a microwave.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. Make it happen. So Clayton, that's the big thing, because that was the big question last time. You were the only one at the time who didn't have one, and
I thought about it.
Still
a lot.
The same.
He's gonna
still
make the same. Spaghetti.
Yeah, he was gonna make spaghetti and then a chip sandwich.
I think I remember talking to you about this like in the past. About I was like, dude, like, where is it at? Like, the people need it.
It's coming this year.
It's coming this year. There you go.
Be on the lookout.
You heard it here first.
Okay. Wow. I'm gonna hold you to it, man. I'm gonna hold you to it.
You gotta.
You just be looking out for December 31st.
Yeah.
A New Year's Eve live on Instagram.
Yeah.
Carver Cooks.
I love it.
That's awesome. Last but not least, I wanted to give you guys a chance, much like the Joan Jett story, stuff like that. And more so, I'll tell the one story that I always think fondly of. But if there's any other stories you guys let's kind of add to the Carver Commodore lexicon out there in the universe. I went and saw you guys play in Brevard. This was the second time I saw you guys there. In like fall of 21, we'll call it, I think it was sometime then. And that was the show in which you guys had debuted the sun light, if you will. It was a literal light with that was shaped like a sun. I don't know how else to phrase it, right? And in the middle of the show, a lovely old lady, I guess at the time not very lovely, but an older lady approaches the stage and just asks you guys to turn off the light. That you guys had just like it was like your first show, right? That you had.
She said, "Can you put a gel on?"
Background is basically like a color transparency that you put on lights.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like colors.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The 80s. So, like, to dilute it.
It's impressive that she knew, like, okay, lights, like production lights, can have gels in them, but she didn't think, oh, this is a production. They have a light.
Yeah,
she just walked up and stood, and especially that venue, it's kind of a smaller venue, there's seats and food, and it's kind of an indoor-outdoor vibe, and she just came and stood right in front of you and Peyton, Philip and Peyton, and just kind of had like her hands on her hips and waited for us to finish a song.
Yeah.
And then like one of y'all leaned forward, and she's like, can you turn the light down?
Yeah,
and
I think I can't hear you.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah,
light wasn't that bright. I mean, come on.
It's cool looking.
Yeah, people are dumb. People do a lot of dumb stuff.
I felt so bad because after the show, you guys were like, "Yeah, it was our first show, like with the light." Like you guys are just you were all pumped about it, and someone's like, "No, turn that off."
First comment on the new light was turn it down or turn it off.
Yeah. Hey, can you get rid of that?
But is there anything adjacent to that you guys would like to share before we get on out of here?
Well,
there's been so much.
Yeah,
I'm sure. Yeah,
guitars in the band gives
blows people's mind.
It just like
including the sound guy at that venue.
Yeah,
he was mad.
They just don't get it.
Now he came around at the end. I think he was all about it, but at
until we finish our set and then it clicks.
Yeah, oh man, there's five people in the band and some of us play multiple instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's a complexity that people happens.
They don't understand.
There's only five people, but there's like,
where's the acoustic
seven?
Player?
Yeah, where's the percussionist?
Where's the keyboard player?
Where's the percussionist at?
Like we're supposed to, like we're the SNL band.
Yeah.
One person.
So there's three amps. Who's is the acoustic going through that amp and the keyboard going through that amp? Where's the electric amp at?
I mean, it's too much for
it
sure.
Is
and that was the sound guy doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And at so many shows.
He got this was a couple of weeks ago, and he got so overwhelmed that he had to go outside and smoke a cigarette. Like he was like, Phil's sitting in the van, he's out there like pacing, smoking a cigarette, looking at our stage plot, like he's got his hand on his
stereo left and right.
He's like, he can't fathom the three amp situation.
Yeah, it was really like something out of a sitcom. Yeah.
We always, you know, there's a cliche about like front of house engineers being kind of like grouches, and that is for the most part pretty true across the board. But by the end of the set, when we've played our set, they always come up afterwards and want a free CD and to shake our hand. And they always come around in the end.
So. Yeah, I think err on the side of kill them with kindness too.
Yeah,
of course,
for sure.
You know, help them out. I know how it is, and you can get jaded in that industry. But we just try to love on them a little bit and blow their minds.
Yeah. There's been a couple of times where it just went bad, all the way bad.
Yeah, the microphone and your guitar was
that
one.
Was
that was a good one. Yeah, there's most of the time I just try not to like have that. I just try not to talk about that stuff with the sound guys because
I got you
back to them.
Yeah.
And I'll just let Phil handle it because he's the best at handling
that. Yeah.
He has endless patience and he's like, he knows more than most of the sound guys we work with on the road.
Yeah.
It's hard.
In the case of that story, we probably had an hour and a half long sound check because some sort of microphone noise was coming through Peyton's amp and he had the monitors looped in a weird way. It got to the point where like Phil and I were crawling under the stage with with our flashlights on our phones, trying to diagnose like where we're running.
My microphone was feeding back through my amp.
Yeah, he was saying,
obviously my mic doesn't go into my amp, but he was like, there's a microphone in your guitar. And it was like my electric guitar. Like there's not a microphone in there.
Oh,
and he insisted on that. And I was just like, all right, whatever.
And it's one of those things where he was so matter of fact about it. And we were on a long tour run where we'd already played 20 shows and never had this issue at any other venue.
Yeah.
He's like, no, there's a microphone inside that guitar and it's feeding back. Yeah. And it wasn't. It was the monitors were chained together the wrong way.
We solved a lot of problems for people. We try to be problem solvers.
One venue at a time.
Of course. These are musicians, cooks, problem solvers, sound techs.
Yeah. It's a good time.
What can't you guys do? Well, that's all I got for you guys, unless there's anything else you guys want to talk further about. But I really appreciate you guys coming on. Thank you once again.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
This is
of
fun.
Course. Yeah. Well, thank y'all so much. We'll talk to y'all soon. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Joan Jett.
Joan Jett.
Joan Jett.